Welcome, everyone, to Trek Talk. I'm Techman16.
And I'm Handy.
Strange Kirk is LARPing, but we have our returning champions. Boom. What's going on?
Jesus Christ, Boom. You're an official host.
Yeah. What's going on is I was trying to shovel a little bit of breakfast in my mouth. Bad timing.
How dare you?
How dare you shove breakfast in your mouth? Occam's Hut.
I know.
Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. And lady, thank you for having me, as always.
Madam Stargazer, the head ref, is here.
Hey.
Hey.
Great intro.
Hey.
I'm here, lurking.
Of course, always.
I've always wanted to ask Madam Stargazer, so how many Camel Unfilters do you actually smoke in a given day?
Many.
Okay, fair enough.
V-Ready, what's going on, man? Joining us from the other side of the world. Technology, isn't it amazing? And Tolstoy, what's up, man?
What's up?
Do you have any more new spreadsheets to share with us?
Nothing that would be relevant.
Excellent. And this is the show where we talk about anything and everything, because we were talking about railroad standards and FDA standards and hospital IV fucking things. What do you guys want to talk about today?
Well, I'm surprised you don't want to talk about the shows.
I didn't need to make a statement. I have referred to Tolstoy and various other people in the Everything Alliance on R45 as spreadsheet warriors, because I was listening to some old podcasts, and my personal favorite is Spreadsheet Nerd Assassins. And as I look back at it and I listen to it, I feel like my intent didn't come through. Those aren't negative statements. I'm in awe of the Spreadsheet Nerd Assassins and all they do for our alliance.
Well, that's because you can't spell spreadsheet.
But I could beat someone to death with one. But you're probably right. I would probably need three edits to get spreadsheet out correctly.
So sad.
So, Handy, to your point, I haven't been watching Picard. I would probably wait till I binge through like the next 5 episodes or whatever. And then we could have a more in-depth discussion.
That sounds good because I have not watched any of Picard yet. I'm waiting until it's all out and then I'll go watch it.
It seems better that way because talking about it episode by episode, you're picking up some breadcrumbs, and then because it's not individual episodes, it's like a 10-hour long show or 13-hour long show. It's better to talk about it as an aggregate.
I find myself with Picard. I watched the first season, and it didn't. It was bad. It just didn't really blow my skirt up, but I don't. I can't ascribe to it the negatives like I so frequently do with Discovery. If I watch something and I have a low expectations or neutral expectations, I can actually sometimes enjoy it more. So like the second season of Picard, I've been kind of like holding off. I'm like, I'm going to watch it late at night sometime when you know, the mood strikes me right, where I'm just like, yeah, I'll just put it on the background while I'm playing the game. And I'll hopefully be entertained by it. But I don't have any expectations to be failed.
Tolstoy, what's the expectation you should tell Occam he should have?
You know, to me, it's just, it's okay. That's really where I land on it, is it's just, I don't even know where to define it in terms of like, in terms of Star Trek. Like, it's very much centered in the same way that Discovery has moved into this very much centered around the personal lives of the characters. And like, I don't know that I would be able to binge 10 hours of it. I'm okay with watching it 1 hour at a time. I agree it's better than Discovery, but I'm definitely not going to put it up there in terms of like the greatest Star Trek series ever. You know, it's got that serialized format where, you know, one story leads into the next thing and you can't just sit down and watch, you know, that seems to be the thing instead of that episodic format that Star Trek used to have. And I get it. It's, you know, the name of the series is Picard. You know, it's going to be about him. It's just, I don't really, it's just not something that is fantastic for me. And I want it to be.
I was hoping you'd say, just watch a lot of tentacle porn, and then you'd be prepared for it.
Well, tentacle porn's a great segue, because I was thinking, what's that Japanese manga? They have that term, fan service. We're just bowing to giving the fans what they want, for kind of.
Yes, yeah.
I feel like Picard is kind of Star Trek fan service, that we're... Picard was a beloved captain. He was a beloved character of a very popular Star Trek series. And we thought we were never going to get any new Picard. And now we're getting some new Picard. And if you're somebody who just absolutely loves the idea of Picard and everything about Picard, maybe this is just fan service. And that's not a judgment. That's just okay. I don't think the series is so much about the story. It's just about getting to see Picard again and Patrick Stewart again.
Can I nerdify that statement of fan service?
Please do, sir.
Yes, fan service actually stood for when the converting the manga to anime in Japanese culture, they would enhance the size of the women's breasts.
I am pro fan service.
I was at an RPG convention, and there was this game being run that I could get in, and I got into it, and it was like Japanese anime, and it was the Macross Saga. So I grew up as a kid.
Hold up. I'm sorry. Could we back the fuck up for a second? Did you say you were at an RPG convention?
Oh yeah. Took the kids. Took the wife.
I mean, we did establish at one point that that Occam was in an RPG guild in EverQuest. So
I was.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah, Tolstoy nerded out about that one time. Boom! I will give you your opportunity to excoriate me. So I went into it going, "Oh, cool!" Because as a kid, I watched all the Robotech, and I thought they were awesome. The Robotech, the three series, and those three series were all, I guess, like these completely separate Japanese anime about, you know, jet fighters that turn into robots and you fight these giant aliens and whatever. And this American, he's kind of a cockbag, but he did something. He took them and he Americanized them, and he rewrote the dialogue and the dubbing in English. And then he made the three series that weren't interconnected. He gave it an overarching story that was like, these are three eras of the same story. And I loved that shit. I loved Robotech as a kid. And so I saw that and I was like, cool, some Robotech goodness. That'll scratch an itch back to my childhood. And I got into the game, and everybody at the table was a hardcore Japanese anime manga traditionalist. And they looked down their nose with complete disdain at the Americanized version of it, which is where I was coming from. They were like, oh, the original. And so there was some, you know, some friction. And then, you know, after it was done, I watched all three of the Japanese individual series, and I was like, they all suck. They're clearly inferior.
You just exposed your inner nerd.
I'm an inner nerd.
Well, I mean, inferiority, some of that's based on, like, they're probably going back to their own nostalgia and the way they experienced it, so they love it as it was.
Maybe, but I think there was a really big, like, Japanese anime, Japanese manga nerd elitism going on. They're like, how could you possibly like this bastardized American version? And I'm like, I'm an American bastard. How could I not like it?
Actually, there are some. It depends on what you were exposed to originally. Like, for example, the original Dragon Ball Z and the original Rurouni Kenshin, I preferred in English as opposed to the Japanese version. Same thing with the original Yu Yu Hakusho. I preferred the American version to the Japanese. Just because in Japan, they have this weird cultural thing where the main character, who's a male, is voiced by a female. And I just, for some reason, I can't get into that. But there are other anime that I was exposed to Japanese first. And then when I heard the English version, I'm like, nah, it's not real. So it's just exposure.
So most of the Japanese anime traditional, you know, stuff falls very flat with me. And I think there's an issue there. And I think there's a culture issue, and then there's an ick issue that makes me uncomfortable. And the traditional issue is, and almost formulaically in all of these Japanese animes, the protagonists are always kids. And there's just these kids, and they're super warriors because it's their intrinsic right. And they're being threatened by this external force, and no one knows what to do, and no one can fight back. And it's a combination of not only technology, but only this chosen one kid or kids are the only ones that can fight back. And I feel like that falls into like the Japanese mentality that they struggled with post-World War II with their own self-defense force of having a military. That the Japanese culture is really, they don't really want to think about, let alone embrace the idea of professional warriors, professional soldiers, because they have an embarrassing part of their history. So by grabbing this like kid who's clearly not military and acts out and does all this stupid shit and is going through puberty before our eyes while saving the universe, there's their way of sidestepping that. And then the ick factor is, by portraying kids, they can kind of over-sexualize young women or people in the series, and they're, you know, without really saying that they're doing that. And there's that, for me, there's always been an ick factor there.
It's fan service, I learned today.
Yeah, age of consent in Japan is 16, so that's probably why.
The age of consent was 16 in Washington. Like, I don't know. That doesn't mean that you always portray things that way. I do think a part, though, of the whole okay kids warrior thing is that I feel like traditionally those cartoons were targeted towards kids, and a lot of kids want to think of all the awesome things they could be doing rather than what an adult might be doing. I don't know, that's my speculation, but
that's also true. Japan is more of a homogenous society than we are, so you know, you resonate with one part of the country, it resonates with the other part of the country. It's not like here in the United States where you have such different types of peoples in living in different extremes. But getting back to Picard, because we went way off tangent there with the whole tentacle porn
thing. No, yeah, it's tentacles, it's all intertwined, it tracks quite well.
Yeah, it makes sense. Anybody who's listening to this will totally follow the conversation through. But yeah, getting back to Picard.
I doubt that.
Yes, Tandy, you have clearly not met our listeners. Picard is, I guess you're right. Yeah, have lower expectations. It'll be a little more enjoyable. Because the whole thing with season one with Data was just like, he never had that kind of father-son relationship with Data in the show or in the movies. And all of a sudden, it's this weird, like, I love you, Data. I love you too, sir. It's like, where did that come from?
Who knows? Because that's what people expect to see, most likely.
Probably. It's the whole we love each other kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, mutual respect, you know, from lifelong serving together, sure. But love?
Well, love. You spend enough time in war with someone and
yeah, you get close, but
you can have that brotherly love. And especially with, I think that was a little bit of disservice to, you know, Data did have his emotional implant thing, whatever, added by that point. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're trying to resonate with people in terms of this emotional bond. You know, Data also did sacrifice himself for Picard, so I can see why Picard especially may have an extremely fond viewpoint of Data.
Yeah, of course.
There could be a story plot there. A Picard was always an emotionally reserved and blocked off person in a lot of ways. He never had a family. He never got married. He never had children because of his ambition and drive to be a captain and then admiral in Starfleet, and that took up all the components of his life. And then Data, for the longest time, couldn't experience emotions, and he couldn't. He was always on his quest to be more human. And so now it's like this ability to show that they've moved on from that Starfleet officer stage of their life, and they're doing this late stage growth to now not only for fan service explore what they missed, but also to say they're starting to realize that because they were so focused on their Starfleet careers, they gave up a lot of their human experience.
Yeah, what you'll be doing in your late-stage career, Occam?
I kind of feel like Occam was talking about himself there. Anybody else catch?
All I have is more hate. I'm on brand. All I have is more hate.
Oh, no, you sound kind of warm and squishy today, Mr. RPG Convention.
Yeah.
I have a wall of first, second advanced Dungeons and Dragons. Like I have so much RPG stuff, so this is definitely the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, I mean, Boom is either impaired, old,
all of the above,
or just, you know, looking for the opportunity to fuck with me because I've told him before, like, oh yeah, man, I used to play fucking D&D back in the day.
I just like busting your chops.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because a lot of people have dabbled in D&D. You take it to a next level when you're like, so I was at this RPG convention.
So I hated them. Occasionally, I take the kids and the wife.
No. You can't backtrack now.
No. But then a good friend of mine that was in my campaign, who's a game designer for a very, very well-known company, decided that he was so fed up with the shitty conventions, he started out this little boutique convention locally that grew leaps and bounds. And it was like if we as STFC players suddenly got the keys to the castle and we could fix the game, it was an opportunity to do that. And he was like, hey, I'm so disgusted with how cons run, I'm gonna run my own. And I'm going to do all the things that they say can't be done. All the excuses that the con runners put up to explain why their cons suck. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to do the things that we've been saying for years and decades should be done. And he did it. Amazingly so. So, you know, I had to embrace that. That got me back into a con. Big mainstream comms, yeah, I don't want anything to do with them. But my friend's con that started out very boutique and then has gotten bigger and bigger to be moderately mainstream. Lots of indie games, lots of really interesting folk.
So, Boom, you said D&D, right? When I was getting married, we went to go check out a location at the place where I was going to get married at. Just to check out the venue and reserve the reservation and whatnot, and you know, get all things squared away with the concierge and whatnot. But when I get there, like, the place was packed, and it was walking around with all sorts of weird costumes. Every single room was booked. Every single conference room had tons of people in there. And I get up to the concierge, and I'm like, having a sci-fi convention? What the hell is... Because, you know, you had people walking around with, like, capes and like, all this kind of weird headgear and shit, and staffs and sabers and whatnot. I'm like, what? Like, I'm supposed to get married here, like, in 2 months? What is going on? And the concierge tells me, oh, yeah, it's the annual Dungeons and Dragons convention that they hold here. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? I'm like, and is this popular? Like, happens every year. And they book out all the rooms and all the conference floors. So technically, this weekend, nothing would have been booked. Now, I really can't show you around because everything is taken. And I'm just like, holy shit. I'll see you in a month. I've never seen so many. I live in San Diego, right? So I've been to Comic-Con. I've never seen so many nerds in one at one place at one time before.
Yeah.
Ever been to a Star Trek convention?
No, I have not.
Can't say that I have either.
I went to one back when TNG was still running.
I have such a negative perception of Star Trek conventions that I feel like if I ever go to one, I'm expecting to see a bunch of Milhouses or Milhouse's dads talking about, like, did you know episode 4 of season 2, it was really that wig that was purchased at this lot by this person with this credit card? I'm like, I don't know. I can't shake that perception. Maybe it's different. Who knows?
Well, I mean, ultimately, if you look at any convention for any, really any topic, it's very insular. I mean, like, the majority of my convention experience, traditional convention experience, has been law enforcement conventions, and then I used to go to SHOT Show, the firearm industry convention in Vegas.
SHOT Show is an excellent convention.
It is
one of my favorites.
And I went to that for many years. But, you know, to an outsider, almost every convention is so hyper-focused on whatever it's about. To an outsider that is not focused on those things, it would seem surreal.
I guess that's true to an extent. I miss going to there's a convention called Lab Automation. It's held in Palm Springs every year. Best part about that convention, they start serving alcohol at 10:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. out in the desert, you know, people are surrounded. You really can't go anywhere. So they start flowing drinks out pretty early. And they moved to different locations, San Diego, Orlando, Boston, a couple other places. And yeah, they don't roll out the alcohol until 5 o'clock sharp. They're like, can we go back to Palm Springs, please?
To stay up all night. What you're saying is the goal is to stay up all night and then wake up late. So you're like, get up, do your ablutions, have something to eat, and then it's cocktail hour.
Well, the thing is that they hosted a bunch of like talks and panels and shit, and some of them were really interesting. Some of them were a lot more interesting if you had a drink or two in you before you went.
But isn't everything in life more interesting if you've had a drink or two in you?
That's accurate.
Yeah, that's probably. So I guess you have to go pre-party for the other conventions. Although, probably not a good idea to pre-party at a firearms convention. Just probably a safety factor.
Well, there have been... I want to say that, you know, everything's been neutered. There have been a couple of... I can think of two, personally, spectacular incidents in the last 15 years where somehow, despite all of the draconian and needed safety protocols in place, live ammo made its way out onto the showroom floor, and there was an ND, a negligent discharge, on the floor of a firearm at SHOT Show. I know of two in the last 15 years.
Yes.
I was not involved in any way, shape, or form.
I wasn't either, but the SHOT Show is fascinating. Well,
it is hilarious at a firearms convention, because the firearms convention is also like a firearms industry. Like 95% of the convention is like, I don't know, stupid shit. Fishing, fire, you know, hunting. It has nothing to do with firearms. And then there's this one little fucking corner that's all basically tactical shooters, self-defense, fire, law enforcement, and military focus. They put all those guys together. And that's, you know, obviously where I spend all my time. And it's hilarious, you know, you see these guys, they're doing their tactical LARPing. They're in their 5'11", khakis and their vests and all the crazy shit. And then on two occasions, I've been at the SHOT Show, and all of a sudden, the booming report echoed through the vast Las Vegas Convention Center halls, and you could tell who was who, because all of a sudden 10 to 15% of the people that were just going about their business in the tactical area hit the fucking deck and was taking positions of cover, and then the other 85% were standing around going, huh, was that a gunshot? And then there was that subset of individuals that were like, yeah, they were an asshole defilade.
I will say, though, actually, it's so having gone there a few times, I walked the full floor a couple times just to check out the rest. There's actually a surprising amount of firearms everywhere. It's really not a lot of it. Like, a lot of it is check out our new hunting rifles and stuff like that, and they have ancillary things there as well. But it is, like, every booth just about. You know, one day I put, you know, like, over 3 miles of walking just going back and forth between all the booths. Because the Vegas convention floor is massive. But,
big fucking place.
Have any of you been to CES?
No.
Consumer Electronics Show?
Yeah, no, I know what it is. I've not been.
No, not worthy. I had enough contacts across a wide range of the firearm and the tactical and the training industry that I could always get into the, you know, into SHOT Show, because it's not theoretically open to the public, but it's not hard to get into if you rub shoulders with the right people in the industry.
Right.
I was kind of, I ain't going to go down that rabbit hole.
Pretty much anybody can get into any of those shows that are private. You just have to know somebody.
Yeah, it's not super hard.
Or for that matter, you just contact whoever puts the show on and just say, yeah, I do this and this, I'd like an invite, and they send you one. It's not a big deal.
SHOT Show, I haven't been in a few years now, but the military and law enforcement area is usually also separated out, and you need an additional badge.
Yeah, not to go down a rabbit hole, but before it was a word, way back in the day, I was kind of an influencer in the realm of shooting people in the face, effectively.
Anyway, moving on. Anybody want the latest Server 34 drama?
Yes, let's talk more stuff about the game. Go ahead, Andy.
So we have a new dry hitter, or I don't know if he's new, but the guy's level 45. And typically, dry hitters, the crazy ones, are usually lower level, right?
34 seems to be where they go crazy.
Yeah. So we have a new dry hitter, and this guy named himself Server Breaker. What else did he name himself? A bunch of other things. But he claims that he's going to bring the entire server to its knees.
Wow.
The funny thing is,
Kirk, who apologized for it later, if your ops level doesn't start with a 4 or even now a 5, yeah, you ain't burning shit to the ground.
No, I mean, and even if you are, you're only one person. There's only so much you can do. This is a huge game. There's so many things to do. And I'm sorry, one person cannot do enough damage. Doesn't matter who you are.
Wait. Hold on. So what has he been doing? What has this person been doing? It's not Giga Andra. Relax.
He's focused on the top alliances only, and says that they've burnt him, that Dark, Nona, MBD, Most, and now Wolf are the problem, and that they need to be taken down, and blah 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 blah. So we track down this account, and it used to be, the account itself used to be in Nona for quite a while, we think, because one of our members looked back in the chat logs and saw lots of, oh, hey, you know, run another armada, or hey, Starmy, or stuff like that. But it was somebody that never talked much, because none of our leadership has any chat with this person. So it was a little strange. Except for one person in our leadership had some chat. Anyway, so the account, we believe it was somebody named Will J, but he quit the game. And he had even let one of our players access to the account for TC stuff right when he quit. And then a week after he did that, he changed the password for the account and said, yeah, I'm out. I'm deleting Discord. I changed the password. I'm out. See you guys. And then we think he sold the account to somebody that was lower level on our server. That's what we think. So anyways, this guy is like going around and like you know, dry hitting miners, and that's like all he's doing. And it's like, oh yeah, server breaker, all right, buddy. This is super effective. Miner killer.
Okay. How often does this account hit miners?
Well, he's hit me once. Twice. Twice in the past week and a half, if that tells you anything.
Yeah, so this person's not dedicated enough to make the server burn.
No. Not at all. But even if they were on 24/7 hitting people, I still don't think it would be effective enough because he's splitting his focus between like five different alliances.
There's really, like, I think two intriguing issues that you could cover.
I got one more part to tell you. Somebody in Dark changed their name, Overlord Corona changed his name to Will J something something because we knew it was Will J's account and we told Dark this. So Overlord Corona changes his name to Will J something something and Server Breaker changes his name to Overlord Corona. Right? So this account is 45, level 45. And then he gets Wolf to invite him to their alliance. So as soon as he got into Wolf, because they didn't check who he was or ask any questions. And then as soon as he got in there, he kept dry hitting people. And then went into GC and said, yeah, Wolf supports the cause. They're going against all you guys. They're going to help me bring the server down. Blah, blah, blah. Just talking all kinds of nonsense in GC. It was reminiscent of Giga, just saying. And that kind of crazy, right? And So anyway, so he does all this, and then all I did is message Wolf Leadership, and I was like, hey, this dude is this dude, it's not over Corona, this guy's a dry hitter, you need to get rid of him, and they did. And then that's when he added Wolf to his kill list.
So there's an interesting point there for Alliance Leadership, for most of us that are, you know, our servers have been locked or semi-closed for a long time. When a high-level or even moderately high-level player comes out of the woodwork, wants to join your alliance, and you don't recognize their name, they are either A, somebody before, and they're changing their name because they want to, you know, I mean, people have, like, gone down a certain path of, you know, rogue hitting, dry hitting, whatever, and wanted to turn over a new leaf, and they decided to change their name as part of that catharticism. But also, a lot of times that's an account changeover. You know, it's been handed off to somebody else. So, you know, if on these closed and semi-closed servers, when a higher level player comes out of the woodwork and wants to join your alliance, it behooves you to go, who are you? Who did you used to be?
Yeah, of course. I just can't believe they invited him without even checking.
Well, they probably got too excited at the idea of picking up a 45.
Which is fair. I get that. But come on.
I don't say that in their defense. I'm just trying to theorize their
motivation,
lack of due diligence.
I'm most amused by the ego of I'm going to bring the server down. Because, I mean, I've certainly been accused of having no small ego. And I'm absolutely one of the biggest people on our server. And yet I realize that even if I went rogue and just started spending a considerable amount of my time blasting people, I at best would be really fucking irritating.
You would never stop somebody's gameplay. Look, Nona went to war with MBD.
I can stop one person's game. I can absolutely can't. Like, you know, if as they move around, I'm pretty, you know, I'm decent at finding people. I could seriously inhibit one person, but that's one person.
Well, that's what I was saying. If you focus on something, you can make some, you can, you know, do some damage. However, if you're going to split your focus between five different alliances or some shit, I mean, maybe I shouldn't even be talking about this because I don't want to give him any ideas. But the point here is he's never going to make a difference. Even if he focused on one alliance, he's only one person. You can only do so much.
Well, the two topics that I really thought stood out that we could explore, if you all are interested, from what Handy had laid out for us, was there's really two things at the heart of it. One is the consequences of when a high level player gives his account, decides to stop playing and gives his account to somebody else. And then the other is if a whale on anybody's server decides that they just fucking have a schizoid embolism, or they had enough, or they just want to be a free agent of chaos, that how much damage can they do on a server? I think Boom is underplaying it. I think that if a player at Boom's level, not just his level of ops and his ship's raw power, but also the knowledge that he has and the work ethic that he'll put into any objective that he's taken on for himself. I think that if a really significant, like, top five player whale decides to go schizo on a server, I think he can, and applies himself, can do a lot of damage to destabilize a server.
Yeah, the fact is 95% of players do not have that in them to do that. I bet they have the ability if they were to apply themselves, but the fact is, I believe most humans lacked the time, they lack the drive to make that kind of an impact.
I'm just curious if that's a subtle dig at Evil for not being able to get it done.
Actually, yeah, Evil doesn't really fit into my thought process, but there's a point you're making there.
He kind of hits in, well, at this point, like when he first got the account, it was a whale account, but he can't keep it up. But he fits in that, okay, here's someone who wants to cause trouble and inherited a large account.
Good point, but don't you think that if you or I, for example, I'll use you and I as examples. You're currently, what, 3 and I'm 4 on our Alliance leaderboard, and we have a not inconsiderable amount of ship officer and various knowledge that we exercise to our advantage. And we both have extremely, not only strong personalities, but work ethic in how we play. I think that you or a player like you or I could cause server 45, for example, if we were to go completely rogue and just fucking nut job, the level of trauma and chaos that would ensue if we kept that up for months would rewrite the face of the server.
It would be interesting. Part of, if this had been, you know, back in the day, quote unquote, when people weren't really going to deep space, etc., I feel like it would be a much more likely outcome. At this point, even if I'm sending out, you know, most of my docs, I can beat anybody else's docs. But let's say I'm sending out 5-6 ships to hunt. There's still a lot of deep space and double deep space to cover to be an annoyance. And just cycling through those areas over and over to try to keep people who, oh, they just, you know, rebuild and resend their ship out. You can be frustrating, and I could, you know, we could definitely interrupt gameplay if we did that to a degree, but not a bring the server to its knees degree. Not at this point. It takes more than one person to cover that ground.
So that's an excellent point with the introduction of the fog of war in deep space and double D space. You just can't click and send. You have to go out and patrol, and it's a big time sink. So I see your point. I think it's valid that a player like yourself or myself we would have to invest a lot of time for minimal to moderate ability to hit in deep space because of the travel time and the fog of war. Where I think a whale that goes schizo or rogue is in the non-fog of war deep space, that we could absolutely annihilate a server, a alliance, or a server's ability for the mids, you know, because we can't hit the smalls, but we know when the events are taking place. We know where the important G3 systems are, and we could absolutely just shut them down. And so I guess the moral of my story is, if you don't fucking like the whales on your server because the power they project, think about it, what it could be if they weren't following their alliance's rules and they weren't following Ro. Imagine if Inch just had enough and declared war and then on all of 34.
Set THC free.
Yeah.
Ego would still get bored, though.
Well,
yeah, he would.
I agree. I don't think Inko would do that. I don't think Inko's motivations lie to that. But for the people that complain about whales and the force projection that whales have to influence for their server, for their alliance within the server and make it unfair, I would suggest give a moment of unfettered, realistic introspection on what would happen on all of our respective servers if really high-level whales went, you know what, fuck it.
Unfettered high-level introspection is not in high availability, typically, for folks that would be even complaining about this. But you're right, man. It's gross when people whine about stuff they don't understand, especially when it's about power projection.
Instead of making a generalized statement.
Yeah.
If you think for a second that I get to do everything I want to do on my server, you're out of your fucking mind. I am considerably constrained for my personal impulses in the game on 45.
I can speak to that as well. If it weren't for me and people like me and Nona, we would be at war 24/7. We would have gone to war yesterday as soon as that dude joined Wolf. I mean, at any given day, there's quite a few players that are very vocal that want to go kill everybody.
I support those players.
On numerous occasions, I have told the collective leadership of E across all of our fleets, you know, I want to do this thing. I want to do this provocative thing. I want to just fucking go ham. And I really want to do it. And then collectively, the other leadership says, we vote. We debate, and they say no, because these would be the second and third order consequences. And I don't get to do it. And I don't get to do that because I'm part of something that is bigger than myself. When whales no longer become something bigger than themselves and don't put the goals, aims, welfare of the organization or alliance, in this case, that they're a part of, ahead of themselves, I think people don't really get how much chaos, drama, damage top five player can do to their respective alliance.
It's like saying that they're lone whales instead of lone wolves, essentially, right? You know, we've had people in the Midland ranges go rogue, right? Like Henry was probably talking about the guy who's, you know, killing miners or whatever, but that's not the same thing as an impossible shit person, right? You know, a top three, top five person going rogue. And it would ruin everyone's game forever if they kept it that, if they had the will to continue to do that sort of thing, right? That's how much power that Scopely puts into these individuals' hands with these ships relative to the server.
Well, I think there are certainly ways for alliances and other whales to come together to neutralize that player.
Sure. But if you have someone who is an apex whale, right? You know, if you're top three person on the server, right? If it is that person or one of those people, it becomes, because the difference between a 53 and a 56 ship, for instance, they don't fight each other. You just lose. So it's that because of the span of which they've created these power between these ships and these shipyard levels, it introduces it. It was different at 50 than it is at 60, I think. But we'll probably see some of this happen on servers, which will be interesting. I that would be interesting. I'll leave it at that.
There's an interesting story there that if an apex whale, a number one, or even a number top three, just decided, fuck alliances, fuck row, fuck everything, fuck all social context and contracts, and just decided to destabilize an entire server, and this is the big and, they had the work ethic to put the work in and maintain it. I think most servers have no idea that the damage and chaos they could cause.
Yeah, I mean, part of what I was considering is based on what Handy was saying, like he's going after top alliances, and when you do that, you're going after some significant power. If you really want to go for server destabilization, you do go for the soft GUI center that
you've got their mids. Yeah. You can't hit their smalls, but you could absolutely shut their mids down of alliances, multiple alliances in non-deep space with the fog of war.
But I think, you know, one thing that probably everybody recognizes is that, you know, part of that is that it's really isolating. And I think that you see that sort of drop off in activity between everybody who tries to do that. I mean, what do you have to play for? What are you dropping your money on at that point? I mean,
you can bet on my level of hate. Like, if you really irritated me.
Tolstoy nailed it. There's such a narrow band that people who achieve that level of power rarely act in their own self-interest, don't demonstrably act against their own self-interest. So there's a very narrow band of that player who can achieve that level of success, but then have that kind of antisocial, fuck the world, I want to see it whole burn. There's really a very minute sweet spot where you see that occur.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like dollars and evil are kind of this, a really good example of they're trying to do this.
No, they don't have the time and dedication to it. They truly don't.
Like, they're trying to do this, but they're failing because, you know, at this point, it's...
I would posit that they've never truly tried, or that their version of trying has no bearing on the reality of trying to actually disrupt anything. You cannot just play, you know, when you commute to work, when you commute home and for a couple hours, and consider it that you're trying to be impactful.
I mean, that was the thing. Like, there has been this drop-off. Like, they were really active at the very beginning. But then it's, like, teetered out so that now they are at literally, like, they're playing, like, once a week. And they sweep through and they hit, like, lat rush. And then they're basically like, peace, I'm out for the rest of the week unless there's maybe an Armada event, which they haven't even showed up for this time.
My point is... I'm going to use Boom and I as an example because we're known quantities that we have clearly demonstrated over years our work ethic in the game, our commitment to allow us to achieve for our alliance in events and war and everything. And then we have significant amounts of power. Imagine if a player like Boom or I had a significant philosophy shift to just say, fuck it, I'm going to lone wolf it, and I'm going to go completely rogue, and I'm going to be a complete dick about it, and had the ability to apply our work ethic.
No, I mean, I get it. I understand it. But the thing is, what are the chances that someone like you, like, what would put you or Boom into that position, like into that position that you would?
I don't know. I'm not getting at some like personal fantasy, like I want to go totally rogue and then this is what I secretly want to do.
When an alliance does not stand behind their big players or they ostracize them for any reason, then that's when things like that happen.
Oh, Handy, did you just segue into something? Let's talk about fucking turf wars and whales.
Oh, so tired of turf wars.
I feel like we talked about this entirely too much in our channels.
Oh, we talked about it even more at the top level.
So turf wars came out. And I feel like this is reasonable to use a word that I don't like to use, fair. I often talk about to Handy and 34, like how we do things different. And I, you know, I frequently, and whether I say it outright or I infer it, how we do it better. We didn't do it better. It was a shit show. And as Turf Wars came out, internally within E, we had a contingent that wanted to make it fair. You can't see my air quotes on radio, internet radio. And that wasn't their only motivation. They had good intentions of trying to facilitate and motivate intra-alliance PvP. And so they came down with a set of limiting rules. We're going to go to the people's territories. We're not going to hit nodes. We're going to leave and when it hits overdrive. And then it really didn't achieve the results that were desired or intended. And instead of saying, well, it didn't fucking work, let's go to Free Fire Zone, they just kept coming up with this iteration after iteration after iteration of more restrictive rules. Oh, well, we'll fight, but if we fight amongst, if you know, because we have four alliances, we call them fleets, and plus we have an ally that has two alliances, two fleets. When we fight amongst ourselves and our allies, we'll only use these G2s, and it was this fucking list of stupid ships, and I don't even know if I have. And then it iterated into, oh, well, they're complaining because your G4s and G5s are too powerful. We'll only fight with G3s. And when that came out, I was like, hey, motherfuckers, I don't even own a G3 right now. I'm scrapping one and I'm building one and I don't even have one in my inventory.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
So the whales among E and probably all of 45 were so hamstrung that we absolutely got shut out of the ability to compete competitively. That's kind of redundant on the cross server leaderboards. And that's a big deal for whales. We're starting to get a little something. It's not enough from Scopely, but we're starting to get in something where we can compete as whales against whales, not directly, but for points and leaderboards. And that's important to us because we got to where we are because we're so competitive. And we got so completely hamstrung and so completely, I lost my mind. And we had a little bit of a come to Jesus meeting. Boom wrote paragraph after paragraph after paragraph illustrating the point, which was extremely eloquent, but I fell asleep halfway through reading it. And, you know, and I summed it up with a sentence. It sucked. It didn't work, and the whales aren't going to stand for this again. Because if you are a powerful alliance in any server, and you start coming up with fairness rules, competitive rules that overly constrain your whales from being whaley, you run the real risk of losing them.
Yep.
Absolutely.
But there's an interesting break to that. You have to manage that. You have to very significantly be cognizant of that fact as leadership of various alliances that have a lot of whales in them. But there's a very fine line that you can't give a whale everything they want.
No, of course not, because they'll destroy it for everybody else.
50% of my ideas are baked in wisdom and insight and pragmatic competitiveness. And then 50% of the shit I come with is some of the stupidest shit you ever fucking read. So you can't just say shut up DT, I'll cut you. You can't just say the whales and our alliance get whatever they want, because they might lead you down a garden path that won't end well. But at the same token, it doesn't sound good, but you can't look at your whales as just other players.
I mean, and that's accurate. Look, I mean, the fact is the whales typically, it's not always the case, but usually it's people that have spent way more money and way more time in the game.
Right.
And so that's absolutely a true statement. But the really powerful whales,
and they also, but they also do a lot more for each individual alliance that they're in.
Yeah.
Like the amount of just everything, all these events and these rewards for ALBs and I mean, shit, without a handful of our players in Nona, we would not be number one in these events. It's literally, literally just a handful of players that bring it home for us.
The ISO, the Alliance doesn't have enough ISO to do what it, you know, ISO components to do what it needs to do. I'll buy a bunch of packs. Oh, we're losing in a hostile hunt. I'll build and tear up a bunch of ships that I don't even fucking need just to put points on the board for my Alliance. The Latrush solo leaderboard is now kind of attractive because it gives, for our first and second pace win, it gives very significant amounts of dill. But for the longest line, I've mined enough. I could not mine for 6 months and I would be fine. Yet every fucking Latrush, that's an Alliance competition. And I and the other whales go ham.
Right.
And so there's a dichotomy there that if a whale is always beating on his chest and saying, look what all I do for the Alliance, I should get whatever I want. Well, that's dangerous. Yeah, that probably is not going to end.
That is dangerous. And you can't feed that ego to that extent.
You can't.
However, you should also, it's somewhere in the middle. It's balance and everything, right?
But anytime there's like a cross leaderboard or a really high event that like usually they're auctions, so it doesn't matter. But if there's an event that gives a lot of epic shards to an officer, if you come up with some artificial arbitrary rules for maybe even good intentions that constrain your whales are like, they start to feel really fucking unappreciated.
Right.
And that's dangerous for any server.
Absolutely. Certainly can be.
So as like a not like as a dolphin, I guess, and being a part of a lot of these conversations, like Occam said, it was an issue of good intentions. And well, rather, I wasn't so much a part of it because I'm fucking busy. I basically just read it without weighing in a whole lot for once. And like, I see where a lot of the intentions were being made. The problem was basically with our server, one of our players, one of our commanders, Mighty Mouse, who might be down in the audience possibly, but you know, he summed it up best, which is, this is not the PvP server you're looking for, because the problem was, you know, we just try, like, we, rules kept being introduced to try to encourage people to come out and do these things, and they just did not. You know, originally it was G4s were okay, or G4s and G5s were okay, we were going to leave at the last during the overdrive, which we realized after the fact, like, why are we even doing this if we don't join the takeover? But I think the idea was originally, the thinking was that if we don't want to screw them up and allow somebody to accidentally take over their territory,
and that's where we went wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah. But regardless, that's neither here nor there on this particular issue. You know,
well, it's very much there on this issue.
Well,
like, I agree fundamentally. Like, the intent, like, if anyone had looked at, like, even I've been super busy doing some bids for government contract stuff, which is a total pain. But even reading through it and looking, never once did I look at what was being proposed, etc., and just think that that was out of hand. A way to inhibit us or be problematic. Like, it all was good intentions.
Right.
It was just, in this case, we found a spot where the good intentions did not work out well at all. And right. In hindsight, the only way that we're ever, I feel, going to get other groups to truly PvP with us is if we actually go and we join those TCs in earnest and basically tell them, look, either you fight to keep your territory, and then we'll back out in the end and let you keep it, or we're going to fucking take it from you and drop it, and you'll just be without territory during this time. because I'm tired of begging you to try and come and PvP with us. You guys never show up. And really, that's what I look at as far as the message for the server at this point, which is why I say it is relevant. Sorry.
I think that they would just drop, like, if that were the case.
Some of them would abandon their territory. I fully understand that. But but some of them would say, okay, so all I have to do is come out and fight you. Like, it, and as long as we put up a fight, and some of them will take the L and, you know, lose points for the PvP event during that TC, and then they'll go and try and make it up elsewhere with other people, and so it'll still encourage, hopefully, secondary PvP in that way in other TCs. Yeah. At least that's the hope. It's better than me just, like, I was boiling just sitting in TCs with that were absolutely empty. Because they'd come out and just flitted out a few times, whatever, and that was it. They've got some points. Nobody else is joining, and so they know that they don't have to do anything. Like, we can't get PvP that way.
I was there. Like, I saw the post that you put up, you know, elsewhere. Like, I think you copied it over. The problem is that how they designed the event. I mean, you know, it's...
Also, yes, Scopely truly fucked the event design.
Yeah, I mean, it's a zero-sum game, mostly. You had a potential of having some points from still earning net positive points from using the Cerritos. But, you know, otherwise, it's a zero-sum game. Somebody loses an equal number of points that somebody else gains. And so unless they're willing to lose those points... They have no incentive to fight a losing battle. I mean, some of us kind of cheesed it by buffing ourselves with the Cerritos and then going and finding a dead base and just hitting that base over and over and over and over again. Because, you know, that's, in fact, I actually. A few times I actually found somebody who was actually there and like they were actively rebuilding their ship and I just kept breaking their base. I don't know if they didn't realize that they were losing points or what was happening, but it took them about 15 minutes to shield. And I was like, okay.
The event design needs to not be that bad. Because, I mean, we can have that same discussion to a degree about the event design over this Armada SLB we just had. And they're like, oh, it's got to be, you know, just the three faction things. Well, no, actually, you guys fucked that one up too. We don't have to dive down into that. But part of the problem is absolutely, and I've said it before, the way Scopely designs the PvP events. And when they add in that punitive measure... You're disenfranchising so many people because they, you know, especially if you come in, oh, I just leveled up to, I don't remember the brackets, but let's say I leveled up to 41 and I just came into the bottom of the bracket. Basically, you're asking me to go out there, get my ass handed to me, pay all these repair bills to get 0 points because I just got into this bracket. I am the lowest man here. Like, there's very few, if any, of these guys that I could realistically kill. So that's a shit design. You can't do that.
Totally agree there.
Honestly, the disco one, even though the points were mislabeled, the points in the tooltip showed that it was zero sum. You lost three and if you lost a battle and you gained three if you won a battle. But it was actually you lose or you gain three if you win a battle, and you gain one if you lose a battle.
The latest one, they did have the tooltip, right? At least on mine, it was. They changed it from the last time they did the disco event. So this time...
When I first looked at it, it showed plus three, minus three.
Well, they fixed the tooltip. And they also fixed the event, because you're right. The first time they did the event itself, it was plus three, minus three, and it pissed off a lot of people.
I mean, it goes back to the zero-sum game issue. You know, if you're going to set it up as a zero-sum game, you're not going to get any players.
Now they just need to remove the ISO mod. The next step, once you get rid of the punitive measure, get rid of the PvE alternative that people will just take because it's typically easier. Force the PvP.
Don't get me started on that. Anytime there is a cross-server leaderboard, whether it is an SLB or an ALB, you have a lot of whales on a lot of servers that have really stratified their where they're at for them to make any kind of significant power move against their current peers. It is a very rare thing. And while I'm not satisfied with Scopely's rolled out, at least it's something. If we don't get to directly conflict whales from other servers like they promised sometimes in the future with PvP combat, they have given us an ability to now compete against Apex, regardless of what bracket you're in, whether you're in a whale bracket, a mid bracket, a small bracket. You get to conflict competitively against people that aren't on your server, and it's a new thing. And if you're highly competitive for the whales, I'll speak to the whales, that's why we got to where we are in the first place. And I, man, you cannot stand in the way. You just can't constrain whales from maximizing their ability to compete in cross-server stuff, because our competitive nature is why we're here. Whales across every server have been bored for quite a while, and we've got a little something. Don't get in the way of that little something. That's how we keep our morale up. That's how we keep our interest up.
What about a whale purge day? Every whale just...
I'm intrigued.
Yes. Explain to me your idea. Also, real quick, I will say, Occam, you keep saying that, you know, you're competitive and you got a chance to shine. I'm looking at a cross-server leaderboard right now that just ended. You should be embarrassed.
I fucking loathe Armadas. And that's where I reached my break point, where I just, regardless of my competitive nature, I'm just like, I fucking don't even like doing Armadas anymore.
How can you loathe Armadas more than mining?
I loathe Armadas.
I get it, but is mining, I would take Armadas 1,000 times over mining.
I send my miners out to do their mining, and then I can grind. It's just active, and Armadas, A, aren't active enough for me. I send a ship out, 15 minutes later, something happens, and I send it to another Armada. I don't need the Armadas, and the core of the issue is Armada Alliance Armada drama. There was the Alliance Armada drama in my fucking fleet. I spent a significant portion of a whole day being the Alliance Armada police in DE, and I was so disgusted. Fucking Alliance Armada drama. I don't know if there's anything in this game that I loathe more. And I made the statement that, you know, hey, all right, I solved this problem, but if there's any more Alliance, I put it out to my Alliance. I'm like, if there's any more Alliance Armada drama and I have to get involved, no one is going to be happy. I will ogre stomp fucking everybody, and no one will be happy with the result. So figure your shit out and act like responsible adults.
Sounds like a leadership problem.
Absolutely.
You're asking people in STFC to act like adults? Where you been?
I don't see that from anybody on our server. I'm just saying.
I've just seen years and years of Armada drama. I have no tolerance for it. And, if you make me, you have a point, Tech, a good point, but if you make me get involved as the arbitrator, everybody is going to be in a separate corner of the fucking room sniveling and crying, because everybody is going not to be happy with my heavy-handed and hammering results. So it behooves you to figure it out on your own and act like fucking adults. Otherwise, I'm going to waffle stomp fuckers.
There's a better solution to that. It's like the people that cause the drama, just kick them. Like, all right, you're gone. You're somebody else's problem now. I mean, what the fuck, right?
That happened. I did that.
I've done that.
I have most certainly fired a shot across the bow of my fleet of DE going, you motherfuckers better find out a way to coexist, because if you make me get involved, no one's going to be happy.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm just visiting over here. We do rotations between our fleets, so I'm in Occam's fleet right now. So I was just like over in the corner whistling.
I agree with you, Occam's. I never liked armadas because I was such a lower level that I could never get into one, regardless of how.
Yeah, you did not complain. To your credit, Tech. This is the thing. Like, people that are patient about this get even more shafted than the whiners, right? Because whiners get their fucking juice box handed to them and they get put into the armadas. The ones that don't, if you don't have somebody paying attention, which is typically what I end up doing, you end up with people not giving them freaking time in the armadas. And that's where the drama comes from, because the good folks who don't bitch get shafted. And the icky folks who bitch don't get shafted, they get their juice box. And it's super annoying.
I never really complained about it, though.
Oh, I've had people leave because they couldn't get in them.
You do not have a right to any armada. So if you truly care about being in an armada, get your own directives. Otherwise, I can understand you're frustrated you didn't get in. I'm sorry. I'm frustrated I haven't won the lotto. You don't have a right to it. And that's the biggest thing that it feels like. People think that because armadas are being run, they should get into some of them. No, not necessarily. Feel free to ask who's running them for a star. Nine times out, like, we are a super helpful, all of our fleets, people are super helpful. You ask, you will probably be able to get started in if you care. And some will pay attention and actually watch who keeps coming and try to rotate through stars as well. But the bottom line is that's the onus isn't on them to do that. It's their directives. They can do whatever the fuck they want with them.
And it depends on what kind of armada there is.
Well, to me, it doesn't even depend. Like, you flat out, you don't have a right to it unless they're your directives. And if they're your directives, you get to come in. And if you're worried about wasting them, ping a whale. Like, most of the armadas I attend at this point are someone pings me and says, hey, you know, I have enough to run an epic. Can you help me come do this one? And I'm like, yeah, or, well, shoot, no, like, I can bring my Sanctus, you can go bigger, you know, whatever. Like, but it's a discussion of, yeah, sure, I'll come help.
Right.
Yeah. It always boils down to people forget and people get greedy, and people, especially in this day and age, think they have a right to things just because it's there. And I'm sorry, just because the armada's there and just because a team member's running it does not mean you have a right to be in it. It does not.
Boom and I have been in the same alliance for almost 2 years now. Back when I was a mid, you know, we've always operated under this, you know, it's the alliance leaders or the alliance or the armada leaders' decision on how they want to run it. You know, all that anybody asks is that you let everybody know ahead of time, you know, how if there's going to be special considerations. So to Boom's point, what some of us did was back when we were mids is we would get together and we would do star trades. We would get some, you know, higher player to come help us out so that we could go bigger. You know, originally it was 35s and then 38s for rares. You know, then we would get four people and we would swap stars for each other. And we would let everybody know, hey, this is a star trade group. We're running armadas. Don't show up and expect to get in here. You know, as long as that was voiced in alliance chat ahead of time, there was never any problem. Because BE and later E has always had this philosophy of, these are your directives, they're yours to spend however you choose. Nobody else has a right to tell you, like, how you, for these directives that you've earned or spent money on that you have to do this some other way. It's yours.
I think that's pretty much how everybody does it, though. They're your directives. Do whatever you want with them.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen lots of philosophies within our own server. I mean, some places have a on my way thing within Alliance chat where, you know, it's the first few people, as long as they make power, to call it out in Alliance chat that they're on their way.
And an RSVP system.
Yes, there we go, RSVP. And I know there are other ways out there. So, I mean, it's definitely not just the, you know, these are your directives philosophy.
It is the self-righteous, like, I exist, therefore you owe me letting me into this armada that's the one that rubs me the wrong way.
Oh, same here. Yeah, I was the first one to get the center, you know. So when I got my center, I made sure I shifted, you know, got everybody in so they could get their directives. The more people you've got that has the centers, the more people that can join in.
I've reached a point with armadas that unless it's an event, the only time I ever do an armada, literally, is if the guys in my alliance and the girls in my alliance schedule a time with me. Because I had an issue where, you know, they would see a whale in their alliance and they would launch armadas that were beyond their ability, and then it would fail because I didn't show up. Because usually I'm not fucking paying attention. I'm doing my own thing because I got a lot of my own things to do. And I'm like, so I had to get out ahead of that. I said, hey, regardless if it's, you know, deep space or not, it's a high level armada, don't expect that I'm going to show up. PM me and say, hey, can you do these alliances with me? And I'll anchor. Sure, absolutely. I'm like, hey, man, my ship's 10 minutes away, or I'm in the middle of grinding something. And once I've achieved my goal in an hour from now, I'll be available. Do you want to do it then? And they're like, yeah. So I had to set an expectation of, I'm not fucking monitoring AC for every fucking high level deep space I'm out of to pop, and I'm going to drop whatever I'm doing to run to it because I never achieve what I need to get done. So I set that expectation and trained my people, and they know, they're like, hey, I want to do some high level stuff that's a little beyond my ability. I need one of your big ships to anchor it. They know they need to PM me and arrange for that. And I'm more than happy to go either say, hey, yeah, I'll drop what I'm doing. It's not mission critical, but give me a little time because I'm usually really far away and I might need to recrew. Or, hey, I'm working on this thing. I really want to make sure, because I kind of have a work ethic to how I do things. I'm like, I got to get these things knocked away, whether they're dailies or events. And then I'm free to just do fun stuff or whatever. Or they've asked me specifically, hey, can you come help me do these armadas? I don't even fucking do armadas anymore. I fucking loathe them.
Sounds like you're a whiny bitch.
A little of column A, a little of column B, sir. I have let a number of my alliance mates down. They're like, hey, man, can you go to these armadas? And I'm like, sure, dude. And I go to the first armada. And then we win, and then I fucking get busy with something out of the game, and then they assume I said, sure, let's do some high level armadas, and then they launch another one and my ships don't show up, and you know, what do you tell them other than, you know, I hate to shatter the reality, but frequently I'm an idiot. There are a number of guys in my alliance that, yeah, I'm not proud. I'm like, oops. If nothing else, I have no tolerance for Armada dramas, as very absolutely represented in this cross-server Armada leaderboard that just concluded. I didn't fucking care. That is a very rare circumstance where my natural proclivities overrode my competitiveness, and I was like, I just don't fucking care.
What I think is, you knew you couldn't do well and would be embarrassed, and so you just threw in the towel, man. Like a coward.
It's the only logical explanation.
Agreed.
You showed up to a few armadas.
I did. I did until two things happened. I finished my SMS, and then all sorts of Armada drama started happening. And I spent 3 hours of my day being the Armada, fucking DE Armada Alliance police to resolve some issues.
We literally have not had any issues with Armadas for years. I'm surprised you guys still have issues with that.
I'm envious. I don't know what to tell you, Handy, other than I envy you.
I mean, like, I can say from, because I'm leadership over in BE, like, I get a 2-week vacation when I'm going and visiting DE.
That's cool. You should.
Yeah. And so, like, I can say from that perspective, like, we don't typically have problems, and I'm sure this is probably true for DE as well.
No, we haven't had one in quite a while.
Yeah, but every once in a while something will flare up, and then like it's this thing where you have to like kick someone in the freaking head and until they get the point. And sometimes it takes like Occam Zane, where you're having this back and forth with this person and you're like, my God, I don't have fucking time for your bullshit.
I find that 95 to 99% of our Armada drama is all ego entitlement based.
It is. That's what I was alluding to. There are still people that feel that they are special snowflakes, and if the Armadas happen, they should be able to get into some. But for the host, just remember, anytime Occam's talking about how great he is, just remind him he came in 20th on the Armada hunt, losing to such quality players as Cole, Z-Wolf. I mean, like, you should be embarrassed.
I'm amazed that I got 20. I thought I did far worse. I thought I was like 80th.
There's not that many. There's only 25 total.
Yeah. I immediately came to the conclusion of like, I can competitively compete in this cross-server leaderboard Armada, or I could take a fucking file that is normally used to file down the hooves of horses to my teeth. Those were my two options. And I'm getting old. My teeth are starting to get worn. Soul Wolf, you know, doesn't have the bite he used to have. Boom's right. I did not represent well in the cross-leaderboard Armada. I had a point where I was like, I'm not doing well. I should redouble. I'm like, or I could beat on my dick with a hammer.
My highest player got first on his. I got seventh.
My sanity, what it would have took for me to be in the top three of that cross-server Armada leaderboard would have been the catalyst to make me go fucking absolutely rogue and burn the whole server down. I'd have lost my mind.
It wasn't that bad. I came in second. I only lost to server 43's level 59 guy.
That guy on 43, that level 59 on 43, that dude is dedicated. Regardless of what the scoring criteria is, every cross leader server board, that dude puts in major screen time and dedication. I can't fault that. And when 43 and 45 ultimately merge, I look forward to him coming to the realization that he needs to be in our alliance. Because I can't imagine him coming to any other conclusion.
After we crush them.
Well, yeah. Recruit through strength. Which was something that, you know, I was reluctant with, but Boom brought me around. He taught me that, you know, just because they were a foe, unless they were a douchebag foe, wars and conflict are how we recruit high-level candidates.
Yeah, you can often tell the quality of someone by how they comport themselves during wartime.
You know, it hasn't worked for us, and I think it's because a lot of our players resort to shit-talking.
Well, and it's the people that can conflict with you aggressively, successfully, with demonstrative work ethic, and never resort to shit talking. I'll throw it, Z-Pup, Z-Wolf. You know, he and I were in the same alliance very long ago. We have been on opposite sides of wars many times and conflicted greatly and have been in, and been in incredible whale Cold War power races. But he's never shit-talked me. I don't shit-talk him. We just don't see eye-to-eye on a lot of things. If he wanted to come to E tomorrow, I'd have no objection. It's the guy that you nailed it, Handy. It's a how... It's about how they comport themselves while they're in conflict with you that I judge people on.
Yeah, and I would agree. I'm just saying that, like, I would come at it from a little bit different angle. And what I mean by that is some of my players have in the past talked crap to people that have not talked crap to them.
Oh, yeah, that's a deep leadership issue.
And that's just an internal issue.
Well, that's not internal to Nona.
I mean, it happens everywhere. I'm just saying. Actions should not be reciprocated with words. They should be reciprocated with actions. So if you've got a beef with a player because of their actions, then go take your own actions. Don't start sending PMs that makes you look like a child.
Absolutely. 100%. 1,000% Handy. I have put it out, and I should probably put out another one. It's been a couple of months since I did. When someone sends a shitty PM to one of my players, I'm on that player's leadership. I'll hold their fucking nuts to the fire. I am relentless and I am unforgiving. And generally I'll call for war or some punitive action, Spock hands, whatever. But consequently, when one of my players does it, I am so disgusted with them because I am holding the other alliances to a very high standard on my player's behalf. So when my players mouth off, Jesus Christ.
Extremely disappointing.
Disappointing. It makes me feel like a hypocrite.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like an asshole when I go and I get upset with another alliance because they're not handling their people. And then one of my players goes and does the same thing.
If I don't hammer my own player 10 times as hard, I feel like a hypocrite.
Yeah. But there's a balance there too. Cause like, you know, you can't, I mean, you can, but you shouldn't chastise your own players too much. Cause then it's just like you're harping on them and people get discouraged and then their reason for wanting to act better kind of goes away because they're like, well, I'm just going to get bitched at regardless, so I'll just say whatever I want.
So that's an excellent point. You got to pick your battles.
I don't even know that I agree with that.
I hold myself to very high standards, believe it or not. I do. As an E member, I hold myself to very high standards representing my alliance. Many things that I want to do in the game, I do not do. Because not only as a player, but as a leadership and unbelievably now as an admiral, everything I say, every word that comes out of my mouth represents not only me, and it represents my alliance. So I hold myself to very high standards, which I frequently fail at, and I strive to do better. But man, for me, I have no tolerance for the bullshit that comes out of other alliances towards my alliance. And I need my players to walk my talk so I don't look like a hypocrite when I do that.
Right.
No. And it's, from my perspective at least, it's not something where, okay, if you keep having to say it, the message loses its value because we don't keep saying it. We have a, you know, we have a 3-strike rule. So if we ask you not to be a jackass to other people, you do it once, you get a warning, you do it twice, you get a timeout, and the third time, you're gone.
You know, and that kind of tails back to what we were talking about earlier about whales. You need to let whales be whales, but you also can't let a whale do whatever it wants to do because they're just a whale. And there's the struggle. If a very high-level, high-engagement performer in your alliance is acting out, you have to have the intestinal fortitude, even though you know your alliance will take a hit in event performance or even PvP performance if you make that player an enemy by chastising them. You have to say that standards of behavior transcend ops level and event performance. And that's difficult to do. Nobody wants to fucking make an enemy out of a very viable alliance member.
Oh, we've done it, but it wasn't pleasant.
As have we.
No. Sometimes it takes someone being out in the cold to realize, you know, that they fucked up. They need to come, you know, get their shit straight.
One of my favorite raids of all time, when we booted THC for a bit.
At any rate, Tech, we should probably wrap the show up and just jump to after party.
Yeah, we should have stopped like a half hour ago.
Probably.
Nobody wants to hear Occam.
Government regulations, so you can just cut all that shit.
Yeah, but it's still in the recorded, so.
Well, the government regulation stuff was before we started.
Sadly, we talked 20 minutes while we were.
But hey, we segue between government regulations to tentacle porn to armadas. Perfectly logical.
Just because people do armadas doesn't mean we like them. God damn it, Scopely. Decrease the timers. 15 minutes is too fucking long.
I guess with all the research now, you can get to armadas faster.
Yeah.
But you can't make them run faster. And I wholeheartedly concur with what Handy said.
That's because Armada packs is one of their better sellers. People, even though it's wrong, people perceive a better value on those. The reality is something like a station pack gives much better value, but people see, oh, I could win a bunch of ship blueprints and get this awesome ship I want. Yeah, I'm going to do Armadas.
They need a button on the Armadas that reset the timer from whatever the fuck it is to 30 seconds.
Like, we're ready to go.
My Armada is maxed out. I've gotten all the people I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Armada.
It's like hit the 10-second mark or the 30-second mark or whatever the fuck they decide. But it should be something like...
My tinfoil hat thing on that is they'll never do it because if it's a known timer and it's a long timer, it gives more opportunity for someone that wants to mess with you to come mess with you and try to interrupt that Armada. Which leads to conflict, which is one of Scopely's most profitable things. And so they will forever make sure that it is a long time, especially for these normal 15-minute, that they'll keep that 15-minute timer for as long as they can. And they'll never let you just insta-launch it. We might talk them into getting it down to 12 or 10 minutes, but that's it.
That sucks.
That being said, I think it's a good... cutting off point. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. I think this was a great discussion. What do you think?
Definitely.
All right, guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please like, subscribe, comment, do all the things social media asks you to do. And we'll see you guys next time.
I didn't get to do my outro. I feel slighted.
Nobody cares.
Maybe next time.
I'm going to cry about it for the next hour.